Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been, we finished up an article, part two, A Berean Exercise, Christian Magazines by T.A. McMahon. In the Berean Call, this two-part series was exposing some of the fake Christian magazines which are out there available even to this day that have been around quite some time. We were looking at Charisma magazine, and it the subject matter that Mr. McMahon was covering related to much of what is known as the modern-day apostles and apostles and prophets movement, or the New Apostolic Reformation. That's kind of the umbrella group that embraces so many of these folks. And we had looked at IHOP specifically. We were looking at some of the recaps from the history of IHOP, International House of Prayer, in Kansas City, like to link themselves to what's known as Joel's Army and the other names for it, as I mentioned, New Apostolic Reformation, the Fivefold Ministries, the Kingdom Now Movement, the Latter Rain Movement, and Dominion Theology. I think I covered the whole gamut there. But anyway, so I want to continue in that vein, continuing to look and examine this whole concept of apostles and prophets today, because there's such danger, spiritual danger, taking place amongst us in many undiscerning churches, in many churches whose pastors are more like hirelings than they are true under-shepherds protecting the sheep from the wolves. There's so much going on. The Bible predicts in the last days this would be taking place, that many would come in. I mean, Acts chapter, is it 20 or 28? Paul talks about, you know, that in the last days, in his time and also in our time, that was going to be happening. And in the epistles in the New Testament, etc., that there would be many false teachers and false prophets that would come in unawares and would deceive many. And Jesus said, many in the last days are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. And they will be lost souls who thought they were following Jesus, but they were following another Jesus. And there are many other Jesuses, of course, of the many cults. But, you know, it's really hit home over the last several years with so many of these heretical ideas coming into what were otherwise good churches or decent churches before. So this is a very serious issue that we will continue to address. I've seen this in my own personal experience and people that I've known in my down my journey through my spiritual life. I've been a Christian since 1973, so I've seen a little bit of everything, and thank God for his mercy and grace to keep me from so many things, and that's why I believe he's called me to be a watchman on the wall. I don't feel that I'm a self-proclaimed watchman on the wall. I believe God's called me to that, to do that. It's not particularly a popular thing to do, but I think it's a necessary thing, and I find it, I'm just very thankful that I have a platform to share with folks that they would not be deceived, as I was almost deceived, as I came very close to being deceived. And I'm so thankful that God was so good to me to keep me from deception. Now, I hope you're hearing me all right. yes, okay, I've adjusted my mic. I think we're better now. So we want to continue on now. Concerning the IHOP history that I was going through, what I will need to do is at some time in the future I will probably continue sharing from the recaps of the each in January and February of 2020 the local IHOP branch franchise might be a better term has been giving a recap each week from a film about the history of IHOP, International House of Prayer. And so anyway, I will not be sharing any more this week, or actually for some time, but we went through enough, I think. Perhaps I may not get back to any more of that, but I thought that was an eye-opener probably for a lot of you to hear and to know some of the main names and some of the big players in the IHOP group, which is part of this greater New Apostolic Reformation group. Now, I discovered an article in Proclamation Magazine, January 10th, 2020. Proclamation Magazine is a magazine put out by ex-Seventh-day Adventists for ex-Seventh-day Adventists and for anyone else who might benefit from their interest in discernment. These are people who have been delivered from a cult. Yes, I said it, a cult, the Seventh-day Adventist. I believe they are a theological cult. And because they were, they were so mesmerized by Ellen G. White, who herself was a false prophetess, and who is such a big part of the history. She's probably the most well-known and most revered figure in that particular cult, and she was a false prophetess. These folks, or actually Colin Tinker is the woman's name, who wrote this article in Proclamation Magazine. I don't know that I would agree with everything that they believe theologically, but they're ex-Seventh-day Adventists. I do count them as brothers and sisters in Christ, and I think the magazine is a good magazine. Like I say, I may not agree with everything they say or believe, but I found this article, Are There Apostles and Prophets Today? And I wanted to share some of it. Even with this article, I don't necessarily agree with everything in it, so I'm going to read some of the pertinent statements, and then I'm going to mix in some other comments from some other people who have commented on this very important issue for us tonight, and probably into at least one or two more podcasts. Anyway, without further ado, are there apostles and prophets today? As often happens, we received a significant question in a recent email, and this one addressed the troublesome subject of apostles and prophets. Colin Tinker says, thank you for writing. I understand where you're coming from. I struggled for some time after leaving Adventism to come to terms with the whole issue of apostles, prophets, and men leading the church. However, I have come to see Scripture describing something more clear than I could see while still wrestling with my Adventist worldview. I'll try to explain what I see Scripture saying. First, years ago, I was writing FAF studies, and I'm not sure what FAF means, on the book of 1 Corinthians and came to the spiritual gifts. I felt a bit puzzled because Paul wrote about apostles being one of the gifts offices that God gave to the church. Ephesians 4 lists offices, not individual gifts. The Lord gave, and they are, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I understand that there are distinct requirements for a person to be considered an apostle, and clearly Jesus' 12 disciples, minus Judas, were considered apostles. Acts 1, 15 through 25, or 26, describes the choosing of Matthias to replace Judas, and the requirements for his replacement are listed in verses 21 and 22. He had to have accompanied the rest of the apostles all the time the Lord Jesus was on earth during his ministry, beginning with John the Baptist's ministry and continuing until the day Jesus was taken to heaven. I'm not going to quote everything at this point, but they drew lots is what they chose to do because, and this was the last time casting of lots is mentioned in Scripture as a means of learning God's will. It was mentioned in the Old Testament, and even Proverbs says the lots are in God's hands. Importantly, this choice of an apostle and the casting of lots occurred before Pentecost when the Holy Spirit indwelled believers for the first time. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, however, God no longer had to reveal his will externally by the casting of lots. So we learn in this passage of Acts that an apostle had to have been an eyewitness to Jesus' earthly ministry. He had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ, and he had to be chosen by Christ. In the case of Matthias, by Christ's will, through the prayers and casting of lots by Jesus' already appointed apostles. We learn, however, that people other than the 12 were called apostles. For example, Paul was an apostle, and Barnabas was also called an apostle. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 9, we read Paul's account of those to whom Jesus appeared post-resurrection. Interestingly, he did not appear to everyone in general. He very specifically revealed himself to a few hundred eyewitnesses. In verse 7, we see that after he appeared to Peter, to the 12, and then to 500 brethren at one time, he next appeared to James, his brother, who became the leader of the church in Jerusalem and who wrote the epistle of James, the first New Testament book, and then to all the apostles. These apostles are not named, but they were specific people to whom Christ appeared after his resurrection, so they were eyewitnesses of his defeat of death. Quite likely, these apostles had seen Jesus' ministry as he traveled through Israel, fulfilling prophecy and preaching the kingdom of God. Lastly, the resurrected Jesus appeared to Paul as to one untimely born. The Lord himself met Paul on that road to Damascus and called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. This 1 Corinthian passage, confirms that apostles had to be eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ and that they had to be called by Jesus to be an apostle. And in my comments, I would like just to add is that, you know, Paul wrote much of the New Testament, which, of course, is valid for a variety of reasons. He was an apostle and a special apostle at that, of course, writing much of the New Testament. And I would say that fake apostles today, they can't achieve that. And that's why these new apostolic reformation people and Mike Bickle's claims that they're going to change the understanding and expression of Christianity is no doubt true. They are going to change the expression, the understanding and expression of Christianity into a false expression and understanding of Christianity, since the canon of Scripture is closed, and Paul himself, an apostle, wrote much of that. Whereas, of course, they claim that their prophets are bringing us new light. And in this article, Mrs. Tinker puts heavy emphasis on the fact that there is no new light, because, of course, that's what Ellen G. White, the false prophetess of Seventh-day Adventists, claimed. Okay, now I would like to look at a devotional book, really. It's called 5-Minute Apologetics for Today by Ron Rhodes, 365 Quick Answers to Key Questions. And I like this, a nice, succinct a book with nice, succinct answers to a variety of concerns. And I'm going to quote him in this book and also in another book throughout the podcast under the on day 83 of this devotional-type book, under the section on the apostles. It says, two key factors show the utter uniqueness of the apostles. First, they were all authenticated by miraculous signs. In Acts 2:43, we read that everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And that brings to my mind, you know, that in the book Acts, it also says that Paul was doing special miracles. I mean, he even had, like, hankies. Well, that's what the fake, false, you know, radio and TV evangelists might say, that they were handkerchiefs, that they were blessed somehow to heal you. But they were articles of clothing that God had allowed people to be healed when they even touched these articles of clothing of Paul's. And then we had, and these were called, referred to as special miracles, because they were just that. They were special miracles. And then, of course, Peter, when someone, a beggar, had asked him for some money, and he said, you know, silver and gold have I none. You know, he had ended his fishing business, and he was following Jesus, and he was saying, hey, silver and gold have I none, but such have I give unto you, and then be healed in the name of Jesus. That was a special miracle, of course. And you don't find Benny Hinn and these fake healers being able to do real miracles. There are some, I believe there are demonically inspired miracles, don't get me wrong, but I believe there's also these shams and shysters in the name of Christ who are deceiving many and have been for years. So anyway, the second factor that Mr. Rhodes mentions is 12 of the apostles were granted an eternal place of honor. In the description of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, the description reads, and the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So those 12 guys were kind of special, you know, even though there were other apostles in the New Testament times. Anyway, the next book that Mr. Rhodes has written, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, is the Find It Quick Handy Bible Encyclopedia by Ron Rhodes. And in it and his selection and his in the area under apostles. I want to, he of course the things I just read from the devotional are here as well, but of course I'll read you the things I haven't read to you yet. Foundation builders. Ephesians 2, 19 through 20 refers to God's household as having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets whom Christ had previously promised to guide into all the truth. It is particularly significant that God's household was founded on the apostles. Ephesians 2:20. Obviously, once a foundation is properly constructed, the foundation never needs to be laid again. A second foundation is out of the question. And of course, you know, the foundation was built on the apostles and the prophets. I know Ron Rhodes wasn't leaving that out, but he was emphasizing because he's speaking specifically about apostles in this entry in the encyclopedia here. Scripture indicates there can be no apostles today. An apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. When Paul was proving his apostleship in 1 Corinthians 9:1, he said, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord?" Later in the same book, Paul said that the resurrected Christ appeared to James, then all of the apostles, and finally to Paul himself, 1 Corinthians 15:7 through 8. Obviously, no one living today can claim to have witnessed the resurrected Christ, and hence there can be no apostles. Now, people could make that claim, but, you know, like I say, Paul actually wrote a big portion of the New Testament, and no one can make a valid claim to have witnessed the resurrected Christ. And I would say probably because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I don't know for sure, but maybe that's what Ron Rhodes means, is that no one can make that claim because, you know, Paul was grasped by Jesus right in the midst of his persecuting of the church. And there he was, the resurrected Christ. He's not yet seated at the right hand of the Father. Anyway, no one living today can claim to have witnessed the resurrected Christ, and hence there can be no apostles. Further, as noted above, the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And once the foundation is built, it does not need to be built again. We don't need what Mike Bickle said about this, you know, whatever he said. It's not worth repeating. But, you know, this whole new, he's going to change the whole deal from what's already been established by the true apostles and prophets. These false prophets and apostles are going to bring new light and a new Christianity, basically. Since I didn't have that quote memorized of Mike Bickle's. Anyway, moving on to the next point, or the next book that I'd like to cite, and I cited it just in a pod, I think last week's podcast, that's where I had the quote from Mike Bickle, but I want to quote a little bit more from the book by Keith Gibson called Wandering Stars, Contending for the Faith with the New Apostles and Prophets. And in his book, page 26 through 28, I want to read you a little something. Many within the charismatic wing of the church now believe that the apostolic ministry was intended by God to continue throughout the history of the church. Chuck Pierce, who is considered by many to be an apostle, represents this new view when he writes, "The Apostle John was probably the last of the original apostles who walked on earth. These apostles were responsible to pass their mantle of revelation from generation to generation." It is interesting that Pierce offers no evidence, biblically or historically, to support his assertion that the 12 apostles were responsible to pass their mantle of revelation on to succeeding generations, and indeed there is no evidence within the pages of Scripture of any attempt to do so. With the exception of Matthias, who was chosen to replace Judas as a member of the original 12, the apostles made no effort to replace their number as they passed away. Apparently, they were unaware of their mandate to pass on their revelatory mantle. Many continualists now affirm that the office of the apostle is being restored to the church through what has commonly become known as the fivefold ministry teaching. This teaching, which has its roots in the latter rain movement of the 1940s through the 1960s, and William Branham, has become so common among some segments of the charismatic community that it is accepted by most followers without serious reflection. This teaching, which is based loosely on Ephesians 4:11-13, states that there are five ministries that are essential to the building up of the body: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The teaching further states that the first two offices ceased to function at some time in the past history of the church, but are now being restored in these last days by the Holy Spirit, as the bride of Christ is being prepared to meet the bridegroom. This teaching has become dogma among many believers. It should be noted that while the fivefold ministry teaching mentions evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those who hold to this view of ministry give very little attention to the last three giftings. Without question, the emphasis of the teaching is on the apostolic and prophetic. Robert Bowman offers an excellent commentary on the subject of the fivefold ministry when he writes, "The sole proof text to support this concept in Ephesians 4:11-13, which states that Christ gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God. The word until, it is argued, proves that the church today needs apostles and prophets as much as evangelists, pastors, and teachers. However, it is the building up of the church, verse 12, which must continue until the church is mature, not all five of the offices listed in verse 11. This is clear when the whole text is read as follows: and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. These offices were given to equip the saints for the work of service, which work has as its goal, in parentheses, to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. The offices of apostle and prophet would naturally cease in the church once their role in equipping the saints was completed, that is, once the New Testament canon was completed." And then, again, piggybacking on what Ron Rhodes said, Robert Bowman here continues, "Some have objected that there is no reason to bracket off the apostles and prophets from the other three offices listed in verse 11. However, in this very same epistle, Paul states that the church has been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2:20, and that Christ's mystery concerning the church was revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, Ephesians 3:5. These statements indicate that the role of apostles and prophets was fulfilled in the first century. The New Testament is particularly clear about the temporary role of the apostles, since they were chosen to give eyewitness testimony of the risen Christ. Paul indicated that he was the last person to see the risen Christ and receive an apostolic commission. The epistles of 2 Peter and Jude, among the very last New Testament writings to be penned, exhort the readers to avoid false doctrines by recalling the teachings of the apostles. And that's 2 Peter 1:12-15, 2 verse 1, 3 verse 2, and 3:14-16, and also Jude 3:3-4, and 17. Peter and Jude did not say, "Listen to the apostles living today," but instead urged believers to remember what the apostles said. What the real apostles said. Bowman concludes his article with the following assessment: "Therefore, in the usual biblical sense of the term, there are no apostles today, nor are there any prophets in the usual sense, as they were part of the foundation laid in the first century church. This is not to deny the continuing validity of the gift of prophecy, since Paul does refer to prophesying as a basic event in which all Christians are urged to participate to the extent God gives them. And in a general functional sense, persons exercising this gift are even called prophets, 1 Corinthians 14:32, etc. Yet Paul also speaks of specific persons who occupied an office of prophet, which was second in authority only to an apostle. It is this offices of prophet, not all prophecy, which I am arguing passed away around the end of the first century." And of course, that would be controversial, and I'm not saying yea nor they concerning prophecy in this day and age. I don't have time to get into all of that exactly, but Colin Tinker kind of thinks along that same lines as well. And I'm kind of persuaded that, you know, there are no apostles or prophets, but that God does speak prophetically through his word, And I'll just leave it at that for now. I don't have time to get into further information in the book that I'm reading from, Wandering Stars, where a lot of this, it would be good if I had the time, but I don't, because this is what the apostles and prophets, so-called, the false ones today, they're trying to take advantage of what another theologian has said, which they don't have really the liberty to do. But anyway, I'm not getting into all that detail, so I'm going to move on. Okay, getting back to Colin Tinker's article, A Prophet's Job. Very few prophets are named in the New Testament, yet their function is clearly identified in two passages, in 1 Corinthians 14:3 and in Ephesians 2:20. The verse in Ephesians tells us that the church of the household of God has been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. This verse identifies the New Testament jobs of the apostles and prophets, and these offices were granted by God to do a one-time, unrepeatable job, establish the church. And, of course, you know, we've been over that already. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to continue on in that article. The church was only built once, and Jesus himself said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. The book of Acts describes this one-time unrepeatable event. In Ephesians 2, Paul explains how the church was built, and it was built on the one foundation the church would ever have, the apostles and prophets. Those foundational apostles had been eyewitnesses of Jesus both before and after his death and resurrection. Plus, they had been personally called by the living Christ. No person today can meet those requirements, and no person today can build the foundation of the church that has been built, and nothing can prevail against it. Furthermore, the New Testament prophets provided guidance for the fledgling church. The New Testament scriptures were not yet written. The apostles were writing scripture as they planted the church, and the prophets were providing correction and insight and speaking for God to these people who had no scriptures. Now that we have the full scriptures and we know that they are inerrant, infallible, and sufficient, we can count on the Holy Spirit to teach us and to inform our lives through God's own word. Hebrews 1:1-3 says that in the past God spoke through prophets, but in these last days he has spoken through his Son. In other words, there is no new light. Furthermore, she writes, nevertheless, we can know for sure that anyone claiming to speak for God, such as Ellen White, but delivering new information not included in Scripture, does not have the biblical gift of prophecy. And I am out of time. I hope you'll join me next week. God bless you all. Good night.